tears being dedicated for Yeshua, Klali v'Ruchani la'Aron Shmuel ben Zisel Esther. Parashat Vayakel, as well as Pekudei, recaps for us all the items that were found in the Mishkan that Klal Yisrael worked at such length to build. And Mirtz Hashem will touch on today the very famous question of why do we have so much repetition, five parshios, Truma, Tetzava, Kitisa, Vayaka, Pekudei, and what seemingly is the same thing over and over again. But I'd like to focus in on something that's found in our parsha, which is clearly found in earlier parshios, which is repeated here with a very, very important added piece of information. And this is source number one in Perek Lamed Chet. The Torah tells us, he made the kiyor of copper and the base of copper from the mirrors of the legions who massed at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And these are the famous mirrors that the women donated to the Mishkan. And in source number two, the art scroll brings down Rashi, based on Chazal, that these mirrors were very special mirrors that the Jewish women used in the Mitzrayim experience. When the men were tired from work and despaired of having children, why should we bring children into servitude and slavery? The women would dress themselves up and go out into the field, and they would use the mirrors as a means of allowing themselves to look beautiful and enticing the men to indeed have more children. And that's the idea of the end of the pasuk, Hatzovot Petach O Moed. They're called the Maros Hatzovot, the mirrors literally of the gathering. Sovos, according to this interpretation of Rashi, is the mirrors enable the Tzovot, the many multitudes, the many hosts of the children of Israel to be born. And Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit nervous taking these mirrors. He says, these mirrors are used for lust. They were used for such things. You want them to be part of something so holy where the Kohani would wash their hands and feet before entering to do the Avoda. And Hashem says, you have it all wrong, Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, ki elu chavivim alai min hakol. These are more beloved to me than everything else. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take them. And all of them, as Ibn Ezra points out, were used. There wasn't a certain measure for the kiyor. All of them were used to build the kiyor. The idea of these Maros Hatzovot is very fascinating, because the Mefarshim point out that these women who were Tzovot Petach Ol Moed were not only coming, as Rashi said, and this is the Aaron source too, to donate these mirrors. The Mefarshim point out, whether it's Unklos, the women had always massed at Moshe's tent to pray and hear the teachings of God, or as Ibn Ezra points out, to rid themselves of temptations and base pleasures of the world, that these women who are Tzovot Petach Ol Moed are not coming just to give the mirrors. They're coming for a deep spiritual desire to come closer to Hashem. The questions I'd like to try to deal with the Mirtz Hashem today, and as always, we never deal with a topic in total depth, but just to get a time, a taste, is why specifically were these mirrors used for the kiyor, for the wash basin? The second question we need to understand is why were these mirrors chaviv alai min hakol, the most beloved of all the donations made to the Mishkan? And further, we need to understand the relationship between the Maros Hatzovot, between these mirrors, and the Jewish women gathering at the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu, at the tent of the Ol Moed. What's the connection between the two? And in short, our overall question, which is the question that we try to deal with each week, is that everything in the Chumash is Nitzchius. Everything has a message for us in our lives. What is the message, or what are the messages, rather, of the Maros Hatzovot, of these mirrors, for our lives and our own Avodas Hashem? I'd like to take a look at two levels. The first, very much in depth, and a number of levels in the first level, and then the second level very briefly. The first level, in a nutshell, will be source number three, the Sichos Musar, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and then I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, flush it out. Sichos Musar, in a very famous essay about the Teva Noach, says the following. He says, Harei Shayidei Kavanatam HaTorah Shel Anashim. It was this pure spirit of the women. Livnot et klal Yisrael, to build klal Yisrael. Vilifro, viler both, in order to have more children. Nichnas bakiyur shenaseh min hamaros. From that koach, from that power, from that mindset, they were able to imbue that kiyur. Shayadan botkim et tatsota. Through the kiyur, the isha sota, the suspected unfaithful wife was checked by drinking those water. V'hu imshicham shalom ben ish l'ishto. And if this woman was indeed innocent, it created peace between husband and wife, more shalom bayis, they had children, whatever the bracha may be. Kama gadolu adam, look how great a person is. Shayidei tarat libo b'kocho lakacha davar ma'us. You see the power of an individual who can take something that you may think, as Moshe Rabbeinu was a little reticent, something that's despised, mirrors. V'lachnis bo kedusha, ko radba, and you can invest in it such tremendous kedusha, achehu nasa chaviv min hakol, so that it is more beloved than anything, and it has the koach, in this case of the isha sota, for these waters to create peace between husband and wife, if indeed she is innocent. This idea, which is a very famous principle, the Sichus Musar uses, and we've discussed many times in the past, is the idea that each and every one of us needs to be able to integrate into our own lives. And this is about how do we interact with the physical world around us, how do we interact with the Olam HaChomri, the physicality that we are surrounded with. Rav Lugassi, in his Sefer B'Yam Derech, has a very long essay on this very subject that I'd like to highlight some very beautiful ideas that I think are very relevant for our lives. He begins by telling us in the Arrow in 4, Sheikar tachlit ha'adam hu lekadesh et chumriyoto. Our job in this world is to elevate, to sanctify the spirituality. And this is why Kadosh Baruch Hu created us. He created our neshama kedosha, our holy soul, in a very physical body, in order for our neshama to recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu within this physicality. And our job is to be able to take our desires and the physical instincts within us and be able to utilize them for the purpose in which we are created. But you know something, my friends? The kamasha chomer hino gaspioter, to the extent that the physical objects are more physical and they drive a person to really the lust within a person, the instincts that aren't necessarily so positive within a person. And a person is able to take those items and be mekadesh them and elevate them. So we find how much greater are those items and harei shemitaleh adam, them suato yoter v'yoter, and the person becomes elevated to a greater level in their ability to take. The greater the physicality, the greater or the lower the physicality, in that respect, the higher a person goes. This, my friends, on the most basic level, relates to what Chazal say in source number 5 in Kriyat Shema, that we should love Hashem b'chol nafshecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol meldecha. What is b'chol meldecha? So one interpretation of Rashi is b'chol mamoncha, with all of your money. Because you have people whose money is even more valuable than their bodies. We see people who will do the most outrageous things in order to make more money, and they'll drive their bodies, you know, to the greatest limit, traveling here, there, China, Beijing, wherever it may be, in order to make. Sometimes it's a parnassa, there's nothing to do. But we have to be able to understand that the drive for money drives us in many, many different directions. And our challenge in this world is to take mammon, to take this mamonus, to take this money and be able to elevate it, both in the sur meirahi notes, which means that we're careful, that when we do business, we're not over on gezel, on stealing, on onaa, on afflicting others, by cheating them out in any way, by being deceitful anyway, with any type of deception, and the asek tov. Do we make sure we use our money for stucca? Do we use our money to buy nice things for Shabbos, for Yontif? Are we utilizing our money in the most appropriate way? And it's interesting because Rav Rugassi points out on the famous idea, we know it from our Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Tfila, Utshuva, Utfila, Utstaka, Mavirim et Ro Hagzeira. Stucca per se, using our money to give to others, has this ability to create atonement for a person. We know the idea of Stucca Tatsil Mimavet, that Stucca has the ability to protect a person from death. And he notes very beautifully in Source 7 why this works. What is the power of money that has the ability, aside from the giving of Stucca itself, which is a tremendous mitzvah, that has the ability to atone for somebody? And he explains in the asterisk, this is what we would call the tshuvat hamishkal. It's really a balanced tshuva. V'hu bazeh shekofeh adam et yitzro b'davar achaviv alav k'nafsho. A person, when taking his money, is taking something so beloved to him and utilizing it as difficult as it is for dvar mitzvah. And this is the counter for someone who has taken their lust, their desires, and utilized it against Hashem. When you do an aveira and you take whatever it is, and you take your desire, because that's basically what an aveira is, right? All person does an aveira, nichnas bo ruach shtus. I have a desire to speak lashon hara. I have a desire to steal from somebody. Whatever it is, I've taken now that which is precious to me, and I've countered it with that aveira. And that's the power of stucca, where you take your mammon, you take that money which is so beloved to you, and you are utilizing it in order to be able to bring that negative side, so to speak, toward the positive, and counterbalancing whatever averos a person may have done. This idea of being able to take the physical world and be able to elevate it helps us understand a very interesting Gemara in Tanis in source number 10. The Gemara says, Shila'asi mime idbo. After 120 years, we're going to have an accounting of what we've done in this world. Well, who's going to testify to what we've done? So the Gemara gives a number of answers. One of the answers the Gemara gives is Karos Beito, the Avne Beito Shel Adam Me'idim Bo Liyom Hadin. The stones of your house, the walls of your house will testify for you. Well, you look at this and you say, well, this is a little bit interesting. Why do I need the stones of my house, the walls of my house to testify? Are there not better, you know, people or the neshama to testify for me? Why do I need the walls of my house to be the testimony of my behavior? So explains Rav Lugassi, based on the Maseilas Yesharim, we're misunderstanding what the testimony is about. We normally understand the testimony as somebody outside of us is going to describe what we've done and be able to, you know, give a testimonial of what happened. But va'olti tachein, the second paragraph in 10, eidut mikoach hamitziyot haniret ba'ayin. V'gam lo eidut haidim mochach hadavar shekein hayam aseh. V'hu inyan shekarot shel adam ya'idu alav latit. Not from an eidus of raya, like two witnesses who are going to explain what happened, but the kiros va'avonim, but the walls and the stones, mitzad atzmam, they themselves are mitziyos. They are a reality that's going to be the greatest demonstration of who we are. Because if a person thinks that the walls of their house and the stones of their house are inanimate, and there's no personality to them, then we are greatly mistaken. The pasuk in Chavakot Perek Beis, that the stones will scream out, the beams of your house will scream out. They have a voice. And they have a voice that will describe what went on in this house. Was this house used for Kedusha? Was the walls being able to protect a person who wanted to sit and learn Torah and created Kedusha, a house of Kedusha and Tara? What really went on in this house? They become the house, so to speak, and that becomes the greatest testimony possible. This is the ideal that Maseilas Yesharim speaks about, and we've touched on this before, where he says, Kine ilui gadohu lebrios kulam, kolel hadomein kavanim, liotam mishamshei hadam hashalem, hamikudash bekushato yitbarach. Like you find the stones in Yaakov Avinu's dream that all wanted to be under Yaakov Avinu's head. The physical world that we live in, we treat as inanimate. But really, the physical world has a desire, like the koros of the bayit, like the walls of a house, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be able to really to serve the individual who's serving God. And that's the desire of everything that we have around us. In fact, he says in 11, HaReisha HaChefetz HaDomeim, an inanimate object, Mit'ale L'ma'ala El'yona, B'yishtamesh Ba'alav Bo L'kedusha. The inanimate object raises itself to higher levels when we use it for Kedusha. He brings here a Maisa, Rav Issen Zalman Meltzer Satzal, who was able to tell whether a vessel, a kli, was toveled in the mikvah or not, because he could see the Yudke Vavke on that vessel. Now you and I will look at a pot and we'll say, well, if it's wet, then I know someone just went to the mikvah, and if it's dry, they haven't yet gone to the mikvah, someone just put it. No! We don't see the Yudke Vavke. We don't see the Aliyah Ruchani. We don't see this. But this is the reality in the things that we have around us. And he goes on to say at the asterisk at 11, Shachomir Mishtotek Lisharet Et Hadam HaShalem. The physical world, the objects we have, desire in order to serve a person. And this realization that we have the ability to elevate the physical world around us, and this is what we want, puts a tremendous onus and responsibility that we utilize that which we have for Kedusha and Tahara, which is exactly in source number 14, the idea that a person can have Shulchano Shel Adam Echad Pe'arlav, the table a person eats on, can, you know, be mechaper for him, can create atonement. Kishadam mekadesh achilato. When a person is careful that they eat in a kedusha way, that they eat slowly, and that they eat with manners, and they eat as if they're sitting in front of the king, Melech Malchei Ha'ola, and they eat the amount that's necessary for them to eat, and they're not eating just for pleasure, and they're eating as in order to have koach to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they're eating with the proper brachas and the divrei Torah. You are taking like a mizbeach. That's what we say, the idea of the shulchan's domel mizbeach, right? We say kitchen, you know, step on the table, walk on the table, because the shulchan's domel mizbeach. In what way is it like an altar? If we make it into an altar, how can we make it into an altar? By being able to sanctify our food, to sanctify our meals. We've spoken about in the past, people wanted to be buried as they are on their tables, because they realize that the table will be like the Karot Beit Ham, the greatest etos, the greatest testimony to the Torah that they learned, the Achnasat Orchim that they did, and the mitzvos that they have done. This, my friends, is the power that we can invest in an inanimate object, like the women were able to do with the Maros Hatzovos, that they were able to do by these mirrors. And that's why it was so chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they were able to take in source 13 something that people could use in the most gas way, in the most base type of way. And these women took these mirrors and utilized it for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They used it in order to have more children. You can see how these women were able to take these mirrors and sanctify them and invest their entire being in them, that these mirrors weren't just mirrors. The Moshe Rabbeinu said, why should I take these mirrors? But the Hashem says they are chaviv alai min hakol. They're so beloved to me because they are such a demonstration and a reflection, if you pardon the pun, of how people can take the inanimate world and elevate them. I'd like to share a maisa, a story that happened in our house last week. And I grant you that some of you will sit and listen to the story and roll your eyes and say, come on, Shira. That's fine. But I'm going to share with you the story. And in my heart of hearts, I really believe there's emes on some level to this story. But again, I preface it with what we've just said the last few moments. I'm preparing a shir that I'm Yirtzeh Hashem giving another shir tonight, a Yortzeit shir for somebody. And I came across a very beautiful idea in the Shvilei Pinchas of why do we have a Minhag Yisrael, which I was aware of but never understood the reason, why do we look at in the candles at the time of Kiddush? There's a Minhag Yisrael to look at the candles during the time of Kiddush. So the Shvilei Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, brings down that one opinion of the 5 that's quoted in the Gemara, and the Medrash of what was the fruit that Adam Arishon and Chava ate, from the Eitz Hadat, was the grape, was the wine. And there's an Indian that had Adam Arishon waited a few hours until Shabbat would enter, he would then have been allowed to eat from that tree of Eitz Hadat. He would have been Mekadesh on the wine, he would have sanctified the wine, he would have made Kiddush, and that sanctification of the wine would have brought in the era of Mashiach, and we'd have lived happily ever after. By drinking of the wine before its time, the language of Chazal is, Chava kabta orosh shalolam. She extinguished the light of the world. So therefore, when we make Kiddush, reminding ourselves of what was, and potentially what could be that greatness of Kedusha, we look at those candles and recognize how the light of the world was extinguished, and our hope is that the light will now be able to illuminate in its fullest luminescence by being able to bring back the Kedusha of the times of Mashiach, and that's our mindset at the time of Kiddush. So I told this to one of my children, how I wanted to share this idea before Kiddush on Friday night. We had a number of students over, because I thought it was a beautiful idea to think about. Great. That was Thursday night. Friday, I go to work, I come back, and I have an Ozeret, a cleaning lady in my house, very nice Russian woman. We maybe communicate 2 or 3 words, shalom, shalom, in common, and smile a lot. She's been by me for 2 or 3 years, maybe even more. She has never once polished my silver candlesticks, ever. I come back on Friday, and what is she doing? She's polishing the silver candlesticks. I didn't even know we owned silver polish in this house. And when I saw that, I said to myself, okay, you might think I'm crazy. That's okay. I felt as if the candlesticks were screaming out, if people are going to look at me tonight, please clean me, make me look beautiful, have me shine. And even this simple, it's not simple, no one's simple, this woman, this Yiddish neshama, was able to hear the candlestick screaming when she went in that place to clean, and she cleaned them. Whether you agree with the story or not, I'm not trying to sell it, but in my mind there is something that if we look at the world we live in, the shtender, the sheets, they have a voice. Like the stones of Yaakov Avinu, our problem is we don't know how to listen. We don't know how to interact. We don't understand that there is an aliyah, that they have a way of moving upwards in the spiritual world, and they enable us to likewise move upward. And I want to add one nekuda, one point, before now honing in to these Maros HaTzovos. And this is a very important nekuda that Rav Lugassi points out in Source 15. He says, the kanav here nekuda sherabim to'imba. I want to point out something that many make a mistake in. Umibateti baharbe mitzvot hatara, and is reflected in many of the mitzvot. He gives the example of tefillin. Although tefillin may not be relevant to the women members of this audience, it's an important example nonetheless, and we can learn from it. Many people think that tefillin are mekadshim et adam, they sanctify a person, and to the extent that the sofer has more yirat shamayim and writes it to the greatest level of the mahadrin to be the most meticulous, then this person is going to feel greater amounts of kedusha, of holiness, when they put on the tefillin. Now, don't get me wrong or him wrong. You should look for the best sofer, and you should have a mahadrin tefillin, and you should have a sofer with the yirat shamayim and a mezuzah, etc., etc., 100%. But to think that that's what's going to create the kedusha zuta, that's the mistake. What really creates the kedusha of the tefillin is the person. If a person isn't careful in what they think about when the tefillin is on them, and they're not appropriate thoughts, they're not going to feel the kedusha of the tefillin, even if they're ridden by the greatest sofer in the world. And adarabba, it could be the exact opposite, that to the extent that the tefillin are written in such kedusha, and the person does not prepare themselves kara'ui, appropriately, pagmo kashev gadol yoter, he has a greater disrespect toward this mitzvah, and that could have chas v'shalom negative effects on the person. Well, I'm mentioning this, is I think, for a very, very specific reason. We live in a society, as we've spoken about so often, that we think the external is all we need to invest in. And if you walk the walk and talk the talk and you buy the best esrog and buy the best mezuzah and have the best of whatever it is, the most beautiful Chanukiah and this and that, you know. And again, there is an inyan of hiddur mitzvah. Don't misunderstand me. But we fail, and this is an akud that we fail in, he's saying, that we are suffice it to have the most beautiful of, and then think, if I have the most beautiful tefillin, or the most beautiful menorah, or the most beautiful klaf in my mezuzah, then I'm yotzei. That's all I need. No! That's just the first step. What you need is the person to be able to elevate that klaf, to elevate that tefillin, to elevate that menorah. And we can't lose out on our part in our avodas Hashem. And that's the nekuda we're speaking about here. It's not the mirrors. It's the women who are investing in those mirrors. Their entire mesivas nefesh, as we'll talk about soon in Mirat Hashem, to have these children. That's what made the mirrors the mirrors. And the same holds true with building a house. The arrow in 16, Ikar Kedusha Sa'isha Yudi Ubibayit Hayudi. The Kedusha of a person is really found in their home. A person who builds a home and marries a woman, it's not just investing in the physical, you know, furnishings of the home. Yes, you should have a beautiful home. And a dira nice, marchiv daito shaladam, a person likes to live in a beautiful place. And it's important to. Again, don't misunderstand me. But if we just invest all of our energy in having the nicest couch and the nicest dining room table and the nicest whatever furnishings you have and the latest, you know, modeling of your kitchen with every gadget, and you don't invest the kedusha and the mindset into your home, so you're missing out. Ha'ikar chaser min ha'sefer. And this is the idea that ish v'isha shezachu, a husband and wife, are worthy. Shechina shruya b'neihem. It's a beis hamikdash katan la'Hashem. It's a mini beis hamikdash. And we do this when we're able, when a zug, when a couple is able to take the inyan hachomer, the physical world, and be able to build it l'shem shamayim, and have a family that will be a demonstration of that the Shechina rests in this home. And therefore, the women whose whole mindset was to make sure to build a home of Kedusha and Tara, and make sure that they went out with their mirrors to create this reality, those women invested in those mirrors this amount of Kedusha, this amount of holiness. That went into the mirrors that were put on the kiyur, on the wash basin, and therefore that enables the wash basin to be used for the Isha Sota to be able to test whether she's indeed guilty or not when she's suspected. And if she's not, those very same waters aren't neutral. They're positive. They create a positive energy between husband and wife. She gives birth to children. Her childbirth is easier. Whatever it is, to create more shalom bayis in their home. From where does this water get the ability to create shalom bayis? It gets it from those women's mirrors of the shalom bayis that they created when they went out with their husbands. And that's the idea we have to understand. In summary, Rav Pam in 18, where he says, Rashi in Parshas Naso notes that the water used to test the Sota came from the Kiyur, thus his purpose was to restore the couple's shattered shalom bayis. It would bring about the divine blessing promised to one who was blameless of any wrongdoing. A very important message in the construction of the Kiyur. A mitzvah is a koach, a power, to infuse an inanimate object like a copper mirror with such intense holiness that it becomes part of the eternity of Jewish people as a vessel like the kiyor. It certainly has the koach to transform the heart and soul of a human being into a worthy receptacle for holiness and purity. And our message number one for us, when a person does a mitzvah, especially one that involves great effort and expense, his neshama is uplifted, and he himself becomes eternally attached to that mitzvah, which becomes a very part of his essence. Although it may not be visible to the human eye, it's definitely part of the spiritual makeup of the individual. Now I'd like to take this idea, which we noted is the first idea. We're working through one very important nekuda here, how you can take the physical and be able to create the spiritual from the physical. I'd like to look at this ability of the women to do this from two aspects. One, the women themselves, and two, the power of the Mishkan, which gave these women a boost later on in history. Let me explain. The power of these women to invest in these mirrors came from one very important nekuda. And this is a piece that Rav, the Or Chadash, Rav Zaitchik, points out. And this nekuda is something, this point is something that is so fundamental in each and every one of our lives and should be the basis of chinuch of our children as well. Listen to what he says. Source 19. Hinei avoda biduka umunusa b'chor rikmat ha'historia olamit. There's something that's proven, that's woven through the history of the world. And that is, kol eila anshei Hashem l'chol gadlutam v'atzlachatam. When you look at successful people in this world, lo mipat chokhmatam hayetera ba'olahem. People don't achieve in this world because they are born with a high IQ of brilliance. Ella beikar ubiglal, but rather otzem vanikiyut ritzonam. But it's rather the willpower of a person. Lachtor v'lagia an mechos chasam umataratam. What makes a person great? It's not intelligence. It's desire, it's willpower, and as we'll speak about, really mesiras nefesh. And that's what the Sabbat Slobodka said at his height when he's creating yeshiva after yeshiva. He says, "De'una lachem, shalomi pata chokma ba'alaliya hatzlacha." It's not for my brilliance that this came. Kol yitzirot v'binyanim v'hatzlacha hu rak totza'a mesiras nefesh. All this greatness came from being Moser Nefesh, from giving of yourself 100%. And I want you to know, he says, that oftentimes when a person goes above and beyond and shows an iron desire above where they're at, and as Moser Nefesh should do something, then the Chochmah comes, then the wisdom comes, then the insight comes. And again, I can say this personally, and I've said this many times on tape, to come to present every week an 8-page shiur, it's like writing a research paper every single week. And this is, Baruch Hashem, not my only job that I do. On the level, personally, I feel on the level of the human world, this is near, in my own ability, near impossible. All I can do is to be Moser Nefesh, and then I say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I daven for Kfitzas HaDerech. Find me the right sefer. Help me have the ability to understand the sefer, to be able to put the pieces together. If a person is Moser Nefesh, if a person goes above and beyond, I have somebody who helps me cut and paste on Thursday. We joke that it's like the labor room every week, that we're like, it's like mamish giving birth. And every week we kid, was this week a boy or a girl or twins, yeah? But this is what it's about. When a person goes above and beyond, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes over. It's not about chokhmah. It's not about ability. And this explains in source number 20 through 22 that Bezalel was gifted with the ability at a young age of 13 to build the Mishkan. How was he able to build the Mishkan? He had that chokhmah as something that was passed down to him from the Mesiras Nefesh of his father, his grandfather, Hur, who was killed in order to try to protect the Jewish people from building the Egel HaZahav. And where did Hur get this from? He got it from his mother, Miriam, who was Moseret Nafsha, in order to save the Jewish children. This is the Koach that we're talking about. When people in your family are Moser Nefesh, when they go above and beyond and put themselves on the line, so either for them and or for their descendants, he says in Source 22, that these people will be blessed with the Chachma as a result of the Mesiras Nefesh of their forefathers. This idea explains from 23 to 24 one of the original questions that we raised. Why do we have such detail over and over again of the Mishkan and how it was built and what they did and how they put it together, like five parshios? It's very intense. And the answer is, to teach us this message, we need five parshios. There's a very famous Ramban that explains, who were these Chochmah Lev? Who were these wise people that built the Mishkan? And if you take a look, there's a great new art scroll, Sefer, of the Mishkan going through Parshas Truma to Tzaveh. Gorgeous pictures. You take a look at this and you say, wow, these people must have studied at the finest institutes of art and architecture. Wrong. They were building bricks, mortar, cement. They knew nothing about art or beauty. What was the one aspect they had? My friends, it wasn't chokhmah, it wasn't wisdom. It was mesiras nefesh, it was desire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a Mishkan to be built. We are going to do our utmost to build it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help out with the rest. And that's why we emphasize the Mishkan so much. My friends, there can't be a more important yesod in life than this yesod. So often you'll have children say, you know what, so-and-so's the brightest, and this one's the brightest, and I'm just a B student. What do you want from me? I don't care about academic excellence. That's a Western mentality. How much of you are you putting into what you do? That's what the Chumash is teaching us. You want to build your Mishkan? You want to build your Beis Hashem? You want to have a Shras, a Shechina in your life? Has nothing to do with Chochmah. It has to do with Mesiras Nefesh. How far are you ready to go to be able to build this Beis Hashem? And that was these women in 25 to 27. These women were also suffering in Egypt as well as their husband. They also had hard work. And you can understand that these women could have had depression. Why should we bring children into a Holocaust, into ghettos, into slavery? But these women did not allow these thoughts to get to them at all. Rather, they understood that they have to have Lamid in the asterisk of 26, Panim Sochakotu Makrinot, Tikvad Hashem HaKol Sivav. They had a positive attitude. Ya'irhu Panav Aflechol Echad Lami Shenifkash. They had a wonderful countenance to ever whom they met. And they were able to be Mechazek, their family, in Emuna in Bitachon under such difficult circumstances. These women, therefore, were able to miskaber with Mesiris Nefesh Mamish, the asterisk in 27. Al Shivron v'chorban libotayam. V'od lafshu gilvid parkud chayn v'chtey laroch v'lsameach v'shashaya et balehem. Their Mesiris Nefesh of going against the normal mood and to be able to create a positive atmosphere in the home, to be able to have more children under this dire circumstances, that is the Mesiris Nefesh that the women put into those mirrors, that allowed those mirrors to have that koach to affect the Isha Sota, as well as to have the koach to teach the Kohanim what it means to be Moser Nefesh for their Avodas Hashem. They need to have this mindset before they wash their, when they wash their hands and feet before they enter into the Avoda. My friends, this idea of the women and the women representing this Mesiris Nefesh to keep the family alive, it's something which I think is a secondary message, not secondary in importance, second message in our shiur today. It's not only the ability to infuse the physical, it's also the message of the women's role of being Moser Nefesh as these women to create a Bayis HaYehudi. Klal Yisrael has had a big schut, the Nefesh Chayam, Rafinkus is safer on women. Rafinkus is always Harif. It's always very strong, but in his strength is tremendous wisdom. The Nefesh Chaya has just come out in English, which now is open to everybody to access and to learn. And he speaks there about the role of women, and he says, the original greatness of Jewish people from its very inception was guarded by the women and continues to be so. 29, the man fills the house with content, with Torah mitzvot, and the woman creates a framework that receives it. The home is a receptacle that holds all this holy content. The content changes from generation to generation due to the process of Yiridas HaDoros, but the framework, which is the home, retains the same format without any change. Women today protect the Kedusha and Tara of the Jewish home with the same dedication that our foremothers did. And he speaks about at length how women have to protect this home from having the culture be able, even in very strange ways, to enter into our home and to affect our children. This is a classic Rav Pinkus, and I know when I teach it to my students, they don't take it so easily, but I still think that it's something for us to think about. He says, look at the stories that we raised many generations of children on, like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. I'm not going to repeat the story. I'm sure you're all aware of it. If not, ask your friend. Ostensibly, maybe don't ask your friend. It's an innocent, clean story. But the story tells us that she enters the house without permission, eats without permission, uses things without permission, and she doesn't feel comfortable sitting neither here nor there. She needs to have maximum comfort. Altogether, there are no less than 5 Torah prohibitions and negative character traits depicted in this little story. Look at all the stories of huffing and puffing and what great teeth I have and these gingerbread men. What messages are we teaching our kids? It all comes in the back door unnoticed before we know it. The degenerate culture of the Olam Hazeh is flooding into our home. And my students say, but we came out okay, Mr. Smiles. Well, I leave that up for debate, how okay they came out. But you could have come out much greater. You don't even realize what this does for you. When you teach a story, and I know of an example of a little child who was read a story about a Rebbe who was sick and came to the Shabbos table Friday night even though he was sick. And a few weeks later, her father was sick. And she immediately ran to that book and said, look, Abba, you're like this Rebbe. You're sick and you're still coming to the Shabbos table. That's what you want. That association is you want to teach the kids. And over and again, the Sfarim say that the best thing to teach kids is Sipurei Tzadikim, stories of great people, great men, great women, great people, because that's how they're going to emulate, that's how they're going to learn. A mother prays for her children that they should learn Torah, they should be Tamidei Chachamim, but she must build an appropriate home for them. She must fashion the framework of the home as one into which the Torah, which is the content, may be poured. She must stand like an immovable rock and not succumb to the winds of time. In our generation, even if a man cannot be the Gra, a woman can indeed be the wife of the Gra. This is her role and her privilege. This is nice pink cover for the women. This is what the Sefer looks like. It's a very, very important Sefer, the unique Avodas Hashem of the Jewish woman, as well as a moving tribute to his wife and daughter, which is, again, stories that you can tell your own children about greatness of women who live mamish in our time. So if that's the Mesiras Nefesh of women, that's the role model that these women have set up for us, the role model of being Moser Nefesh, to create that bedrock of the home, to create the atmosphere of the home that these women put into the mirrors. That's one thing that allowed this water to have this power, Lashkin Shalom Bayis. But there's also the power of the Mishkan itself. A beautiful essay Sifte Chaim speaks about in the Mo'adim Chelek Gimel in sources 32 through 34, where he speaks about that the Mishkan parallels the building of the world. And just like the building of the world, Hashem took a Yesh Ma'ayin. He took our world, and he's able to create Gashmius from Ruchnius. So too, our job in the Mishkan is to take the Hashem created the Gashmius from the Ruchnius. Our job is likewise to create from this Gashmi world the Ruchnius of the Mishkan. And the malachas that are found in the Mishkan are those items that Klai Yisrael were able to elevate into this world of the Beis Hashem. They have a different stature to them. That's why they are these malachos. It's interesting that the Siftei Chaim goes on and says that in such an environment, we can now have a deeper appreciation of these mirrors aside from their role in Jewish history. He notes in the arrow in 34, Asher tzavu petach olam moed. Why did these women gather by the olam moed in our pasuk? Lishmoa divrei Elokim chayim. The Sfornil says to listen to the word of God. Vayakom vakesh Hashem yitzei olam moed. Anyone who wanted to hear the word of God to learn Torah came to this tent. When these women heard the word of Hashem, they said, we don't need our valuable, our mirrors that are so beloved to us. They said, we don't have need for the mirrors. Our focus is not Olam Hazeh. Our focus is not only the physical beauty of the world. We're so enthralled. We're so enamored by the Kedusha of this place. We want to give these beloved mirrors to Hashem. And in fact, the Baal HaTurim notes from the fact of this word, the Marot HaTzovos, he says that these women who gave away these Taivos Olam Hazeh, they had V'nacha Lehem Ruach Elokim. They had the image, the Maros, reference to Pasim Yecheskel, the Maros, they had the visions of godliness on them. Harei Dugma Shel Yitzira Yesh Me'ayin. This is what the mirrors are about. A kli that's used for perhaps Yitzhahara, they used it into a kli, a vessel that allowed them to get Hashras Hashchina, to get the divine presence on them. That's the koach of the Mishkan, to be able to take the whole and be able to elevate it to Ruach HaKodesh, to be able to elevate it for divine inspiration. So it's both of these aspects, the Mesiris Nefesh that they put in, as well as their deep desire to come close to Hashem, the environment itself changed these women. My friends, I'd like to add here, and then we'll do the second level, that today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and our home is the goal is to be a Beis HaMikdash. But perhaps the closest that we come, and Rav Pinkus and Nefesh Chaya, Nefesh Shimshon on Shabbos Kodesh discusses this at length, is that Shabbos Kodesh is very similar to the Beis HaMikdash. And we have to understand that every time we have Shabbos in our home, the 24 hours, 35, the atmosphere should be pleasant because we are in the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak. And that's why there's the idea of lighting candles. The candles were in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Pinkus goes through this at length. We have the She'alechem. We have the Lechem Apanim. We have the showbread. That's why some people have 12 rolls. Some people braid their challah into 6. 2 rolls is 12. Some people just have, you know, the long challah. The long challah looks like a vav. 2 vavs is 12. In any way to get to the Lechem Apanim, the 12 loaves of bread. We have, Rav Pinkus mentions, it's a nice idea to have shoshanim, roses at your table, the smell of the ketoret. So the question is, where is the kiyor in our Shabbos? So the logical answer is the kiyor, which was the preparation for the Kohanim doing the work. They washed their hands and feet. It's our preparation to take a Shabbos shower, a Shabbos bath, in honor of Shabbos, that we walk in, you know, purifying ourselves physically for the Shabbos experience, 100%. I think we can add that the kiyor has another function as well. And just like the kiyor created the shalom bayis in the case of the Isha Sota, the kiyor as well reminds us of the shalom bayis in our home that needs to be found, which is the Neiros also remind us of this in our Shabbos home. Maintaining the high level 36 of domestic harmony on Shabbos is challenging. A non-observant Jew once confided to me, I'm at work all week long, my wife isn't home much either. We only meet on Shabbos, and then the fight starts. This is not what Shabbos is supposed to be. Shabbat Shalom is not a product of modern Hebrew. We dwell in Shalom on Shabbat. This is our wish. And why is Shabbos the time of Shalom Bayis? So he says that every person is unique, and they come from a different world, and very often you're going to have clashes. 37, but on Shabbos we lose our personal identity, so to speak. There's no Reuven, there's no Rachel, there's only Hashem. We eat at Hashem's table, we are his guests. Usually, husband and wife don't fight when they are guests. In their own home, he is the master of the house, she's the mistress, they feel they're on their own turf, they can be themselves. But when visiting others, neither of them is the head of the household, and thus they unite. This may be compared to two candles who argue over which one sheds more light. When they're taken outside into the sunlight, the argument ceases. For in relation to the sun, candlelight becomes insignificant. So too in our home, the husband and wife are part of a much larger picture, and that is feeling that we're in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Feeling we're in the Beis HaMikdash. And hence, as we've spoken about, why we say Seitchem El Shalom and Shalom Aleichem, we're wishing the angels farewell. Because Hashem is going to be with us at Kiddush time, without any intermediaries, without any angels there. It's a time of yichud, a time of oneness with Hashem. And further, my friends, in 40, Yontif is compared to a picture. Each one has its own beautiful scene. But Shabbos is like a mirror. It has no content of its own. Shabbos is a day on which the whole world stops. No plowing, no cooking, no writing. And when everything stops, what's left? Hashem. On this day, there's no world. There's only Hashem. Therefore, the mirror of Shabbos reflects Hashem. That's why we say that Shabbat is the day of Hashem. For 24 hours, we must pay attention to everything we do. Towel paper, pulling it off, salad, opening the refrigerator, turning on the tap. Wherever we go, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. There's nothing but Shabbos. There's nothing but Hashem. The entire world ceased to exist, and we are now with Hashem alone. So it's nothing else. In this way, the numerous restrictions of Shabbos allow us to break free of the bounds of ordinary mundane reality. Today we're not Jewish human beings living in the everyday world. We are transformed and uplifted to a whole new plane of reality in which we are alone with Hashem. And this is one of the reasons why I call it the sheer mirroring majesty. It's not only about the women who are the majestic individuals and what their mirrors represented, but Shabbos Kodesh is mirroring the majesty of the Malkol Shel Olam, of the Heavenly King. And that feeling of Hashem's presence in our world has to enable us to feel greater Shalom Bayis in our home, that we're two small candles at the guest in a very well-lit room, the sun, which fills the whole world, to feel a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in our home, the Shabbat Shalom. If on the first level this is the koach the woman put into the mirrors of Mesiras Nefesh, the koach of the Beis HaMikdash to be able to elevate the whole, the physical into the spiritual, I just, in the 5 minutes that we have left, just like to mention one other nekuda. The Talmud Das Rav Sternbach points out, why was it the kiyur specifically? Did not they go to the mikvah already? But rather the kiyur was the hachana for kedusha. And these women who invested so much kedusha and wanted to come so close to Hashem, this would enable the kohanim as well to be able to access this part of the women's kedusha and desire for kedusha in their own avodah as well. But, and this Rav Belsky points out in 42 as well, but it goes beyond that. Rav Nebenzahl in the Sichos of Sefer Shemot points out that there is an idea that when did these women give over these mirrors? What was the impetus in 45? He says, what was the impetus was the time of tefillah. Tefillatan shel otan nashim. When they came to the Ohel Moed, they came to David. And through their dveikus in tefillah, they realized that there's nothing else in this world but a connection with Hashem. And when they came, they had no intention, perhaps, of giving those mirrors. It was something they kept on them, like many women have mirrors in their purse. But when, after they felt this kirvas elokim, the arrow in 45, they felt this closeness to Hashem, they felt the hashbah, the influence of tefillah, the tefillah tam helyona, this great tefillah, they said, all we want is to have kirvas Hashem, to be able to come close to Hashem, and therefore gave over their mirrors. And that was something that the Kohanim had to keep in mind before they went to do their avoda, the power of tefillah. And keep in mind, says Rav Nebenzahl, that don't think that the Beis HaMikdash was a place where there was no tefillah going on. And that today, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we have tefillah. No, it was hand in hand. A person would bring a korban chatan or a sin offering of some type. He said, vidui, he confessed. You brought a korban shlomim today, thank you to Hashem. You said shevach, you said praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tefillah was part and parcel of what the korbanos was about. For the Kohani, before they started their avoda, to realize the power of tefillah, look into those mirrors and realize how mirrors, these mirrors that the women donated, was as a result of the koach of tefillah, the power of tefillah that women had. And recognize how the power of tefillah can change a person. And with that mindset, now prepare yourselves to go in and to do the avoda. And Rav Nebenzahl ends so beautifully. He said, Chazal tell us that the Yisod, L'karev et ha-Geula, the arrow in 48, to bring the redemption closer, is tefillah, is prayer. And when we're talking about the redemption, we're talking obviously on the national level, as well as on the personal level. Tefillah me'omek ha-lev. And this is the tefillah that we have to understand. That when we're talking about the maros hatzovos, these mirrors, the message for us when we learn Chumash is just as those mirrors, tefillah transformed them, tefillah has the ability to transform us as well. And my friends, that transformation in its own right is part of the geula, is part of the redemption. And what part of what we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end of our Shemoneh Esrei, in the middle of our Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Umilfanecha malkeinu rekam al tishivenu. Let us not leave empty-handed. Hashem, we're coming to you and davening. Please, Hashem, allow the inspiration of our tefillah, allow the act of tefillah to have an imprint on us, to change us, to make us different people. That is the message of those mirrors that the women donated, how the koach of tefillah, real heartfelt tefillah, can bring the person to a level of closeness to Hashem. And when you feel that closeness to Hashem, then a person has a whole different view of the world around us. And we understand that what we thought is important may not necessarily be the most important, as well as it gives us a vantage point of so often I want to live my life on my terms and the script that I write. When I'm able to daven and move myself away from self, that there's Ribono Shel Olam in the world, and He's leading my life, and He's directing things, and it's Poteach Et Yadechu Mospia L'chol Chai Ratzon, the Ratzon of the Borei, and I'm opening my hands and Poteach Et Yadechu to be able to receive what Hashem has in store for me, then I'm enabling my tefillah to allow it to change me, to change my perspective, and allow it, so to speak, to be a mirror, to reflect back on myself what is really important, what is really the impetus of what I want and why I want it, and to be able to daven in the correct mode, in the correct mindset, and perhaps more importantly, to live in the correct mode and the correct mindset. And therefore, my friends, as our final bracha for today, we should be zocho to follow in the ways of our emos, HaKadoshos, that we have the ability to recognize how our home is in our hands, and how we have the ability, we have the charge to protect our home from the outside influences, to make sure it's a home of Kedusha and Tahara. But recognize as well that we have the ability to take the items in our home and be able to elevate them, that the items themselves are a testimony to the Kedusha and Tahara in the home, to the level that we're trying to achieve in our home. Lashkin the Shechina, to bring the Shechina down to our home. That's our challenge. And these women set up for us a model by being Moser Nefesh for these Maro Tatsovos and Mesiris Nefesh that we have to give in our own Avodas Hashem, whatever areas that they may be. And second of all, understand that these women came to learn Torah, to have a spiritual desire to come close to Hashem. They understood the Olam Hazeh, this physical world, in the correct perspective. And that's an inspiration for us as well, that they gave up those Maros HaTzovos and said, we realize there's a greater spiritual calling in this world. And they were able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we too should be able to utilize the learning of Torah that we do and the tefillos that we daven to elevate ourselves to become redeemed people, and that we're able to utilize the opportunities of our lives, the Kedusha of our home, the Kedusha of Shabbos, the Kedusha of our Avodas Hashem, to become the best Avdei Hashem we can be.